शांति। Baba has given us this challenge of 1 second. Perhaps many years ago, and even then Baba said this, you must be able to become merged in love in 1 second. Perhaps even at that time we felt, oh, 1 second, it's too fast, too many thoughts. But now it is part of our normal language. Yes, Baba, we will do this in 1 second. The new ones who are coming now, 1 year, 2 year in Gyan, they are catching the older ones' acceptance of this. 1 second? Okay, we can do this. We will do this. And the more familiar we become with something, the more we just accept it, we don't react to it, we just say, okay. Then Baba, if you're saying it, then we must have done it last cycle. And so we will do it again, for sure. So the first part of this aspect of 1 second is to accept that whatever Baba tells me, I have done it already. Baba cannot, like human beings, you know, we cheer each other, we say, come on, you can do this. But usually, the human being impure, is projecting their own need, their own desire onto you. That's why sometimes we feel some pressure. Come on, Rosemary, you can do it. Come on, Pauline, you can do it. And it's not even my issue on that day, at that moment. And so I feel like that person is, you know, projecting something that I'm not so interested in at that moment. And that's okay. The drama is accurate and beneficial. But the first aspect is, I must accept that Baba as the truth. Truth defined is eternal, wasn't created, never was created, and can never, ever, ever be destroyed. No matter how clever anyone who comes along is, they will never be able to destroy the truth. It is as it is, eternally. So Baba cannot even speak a word unless it's been done already. That's why we don't say yoga, we say remembrance. Because member, to belong, a member of a club, to belong, we need to belong again to this eternal reality. So Baba cannot speak a word that is not true. Unlike human beings, he doesn't decorate. I have got into so much trouble through speaking decorative, dramatic, sometimes not true things. And souls get very angry with me, you know, Li Bai, you are deceptive, you do this, you do that. But Baba, he never does such a thing. So anything that Baba says, as Asha Ben said this morning, it is like, as Mama said it, it is written in stone. It means it is forever. We can trust it. People say to me, I can't trust you, sometimes they say. And I say, that's fine, don't. But trust the Murli. Whatever is said in the Murli, trust it. Because Baba is speaking from eternity. He has seen it all again and again. He has it all within the seed of self, recorded there. So what he says is true. And we will fly within a second. And he said some won't. And they will become trapped. By the law of attraction, our attention is pulled. So someone asked me this morning at breakfast to speak about laziness. So we as human beings add so much soap opera to these things. Laziness is very bad. And we make a big deal of it. Laziness is a lack of motivation. And the two factors of necessary for motivation is you need more information about that thing. Otherwise there cannot be love for it. Unless you understand the value of something, there cannot be love. So I need to love that thing to which I wish my attention to be pulled in a second. You watch people speak about their pets. You mention the name of their pet, you know? Immediately their face comes alive. Oh, my pet. Oh, yes. We have a dog. We have this little puppy. He's so sweet. And they tell you all the virtues of the dog and they even whine like the dog. They start to look like the dog. Yes, they take on the characteristics of that dog because there's so much love there. I've chosen a dog, you know, but you understand what I mean. It doesn't matter where the love is, but where love is, I can go in a second. But before I can have love, I recall the youth asking Nirvebhai with great frustration about 6-7 years ago, now, whereby, how can I have natural love for Baba? And whereby said, come to know Him. More and more, and as you come to know Him more and more, you will naturally have love for Him. That means I have to get outside of the box or get outside of the pattern by which I've been studying presently. And try to find something fresh and new, a new perspective. So the first thing is to gain knowledge about that thing with which I wish to fly to in a second. The more knowledge I have of that and experience I have of that, because experience is knowledge, it's not just a mental understanding, then naturally my heart, my attention, everything flies there in a second. So that's why Raja Yoga is called a study. It's not just devotionalism. People in bhakti have seemingly more love for God. Yeah? You see them in the temples and there. I saw once I was in, I can't remember. I don't think it was Raipur. It was somewhere else. And Bhaiji, Om Prakash Bhai from Madhya Pradesh, he took us to a Shiva temple. I was very new with Baba, maybe 2 years in Gyan. And we were doing one of those wonderful service tours where you do 22 cities in 20 days or something like that, you know. You know, one day, half a city kind of thing. 4 lectures and then back on the air-conditioned train. Off you go again. So we had time one morning to go to a temple. And I'm not so interested in temples or sightseeing. But wherever they have insisted me to go sightseeing, I have enjoyed it, I must admit. But in my head, I have no interest to do that. I am interested only in BKs. I love BKs. They pull my attention. I love exchanging with them and experiencing. But we went to the Shiva temple, and it was in the morning, early morning, straight after Murli. And even then the Bhagats had not started yet lining up. The Brahmin priest was in there sitting on the floor of the big Shivaling, and he was painting it, yeah? Putting on the gold leaf and all the markings, and he was crying. It was such a real experience for him. And I thought, wow, you know, intellectually I understand what's going on. I know more than him. But look, nothing. Not only were there no tears of love in my eyes were dry. Dry with intellectuality. Oh yeah, that's the Shivaling, you know. They don't know it's a point of light. Gosh, you know. Look at the Brahmin bull. And he was. The Brahmin bull was sitting outside there. Like this, with his hump. You know, Shiva rode the bull, and there he was. I know what that represents. That represents Brahma Baba. How about that? And in between the Brahmin bull and the Shivaling was the tortoise, Daddy Gulzar. I even know what the tortoise is. How about that? My eyes as dry as a bone. No love in my eyes. Just I know. I understand. And here he was. And it's just stone. But what was going on inside of his head that such tears of love would come? And now I know who God is. God came the other night in the body of Daddy Gulzar. Came with Avyak Brahma. And they both came through and looked at me. They looked at me. I must admit, I've changed. It's no longer dry eyes. When you've got him looking at you as you felt him the other night, and each one of us felt he was only looking at me. Did you feel that? Did you feel that? He was only looking at me? Yeah. That's what I felt. He was only looking at me. And with such love, such recognition. And for years he's been looking at me. And saying, okay, you may not recognize me yet, that's okay. But I recognize you. I know who you are. Just listen to what I say about you. And just the other night, and it happens every year now and every meeting, the feeling of love accumulates inside of me, and I think, all of these years, 23 for me, you have waited for me. Who will we wait for 23 years? But he waited for me, and he's still waiting for that full recognition. But every year I know the knowledge and the experience of Baba has increased because the love is there. No one can pull my attention away from Baba when he is speaking to Murli or when he is looking at me. So to understand Baba and to know him, this is why romantic love is such a farce. You look at someone and you go, you know, like this. This is a lie because it is a karmic account. That's why there's all this. It's not love, it's a karmic account, and you're about to find out. After 1 hour, one day, or 1 year, or 1 month, you will find out this is a karmic account, actually. But the relationship with Baba has not been since I was last completely in love. Blink your eyes. Just blink them, please. Just blink. This is what we were doing 5,000 years ago. Blink them again. Now we're back in the present moment. And this is why this day happened, because you just saw, right? You blinked and you saw what we were doing 5,000 years ago. Well, that's why we ended up having this class today, in case anyone's wondering. And if you're wondering why you're sitting in that particular chair, it's because you simply remembered. Your sanskaras guided you there as per last cycle. Okay, now the dangerous one. You ready? Blink again. Don't move too much. We're time traveling. This is what is the result. Just look around. This is what we'll be doing 5,000 years in the future. Blink again. Come back to present. Hi, welcome back. It's the 3rd of January, 2007, as per the Gregorian calendar, human made. But you better enjoy today, because the result of today is next cycle. This is the only time I can experience God's love. The last time I was in love, blink your eyes. 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, I was in love. And I've been looking for it again ever since. So all the knowledge is here, somewhere, here. It's ready. We're not doing this for the first time. We're remembering it. It's easy, actually. And what was Baba's definition of determination in the second last Murli, I think, 15th of December Murli? The definition of determination Baba gave was, it has already happened. It has already happened. As humans, we have this arrogance that we are creating. That I came in and I made a choice as to where to sit. But it was so subconscious, you only became aware of it when I mentioned it. But how did you get into that seat? Split second, you knew which seat to sit in because you remembered. Because there's only one seat you sit in on this day every cycle. And you have to go back to that seat. Now, Baba, that's how fixed the knowledge is that Baba's speaking. Of course, he makes it sound immediate. He uses human language to kind of inspire us, to get us wound up, to motivate us. He uses human language. If he were just to use absolutes, it would be too strong for us, too much for us. But now and then he will use an absolute term, like, I have attained that which I wished to attain. Or, it has already happened. We cannot be belligerent or lazy about this. This is the point of drama. It is nothing new. Will you come to love God again? Yes. Have you pursued love in this lifetime? Yes. All of us have. Where did that come from? The last time you were truly in love. Last cycle. Actually, on this day. Today. So the first thing is knowledge. You have to gain a breadth of knowledge. I must gain a breadth of knowledge and deep experiences. And then the love is automatic. And the second thing that is important is personalization. So the first thing is to understand this moment is repeating. Baba's speaking the truth. Whatever he says is. And it is repeating. And I will achieve a second. The second thing is personalization. I was saying to the youth the other day, and I say to you now, can you imagine Asha Ben? She's reading the Murli this morning, and she reads, Sweet Children, Mite Bache, and Georgina. Yes, exactly. Georgina's head just went. Can you imagine? Huh? Sweet Children and Ajay. If Baba were to speak your name, would that be enough? All the others, but also Matthias. everyone and Pauline. Wow. I had this experience once in 1994. We were meeting Bab Dada, and I was telling them this morning, I was bending down, fixing my sock, turning my sock. Actually, I'll tell you the truth, my sock was dirty, so I was turning it inside out, so it looked clean. And I was had my head down. And Baba said, "Acha, anyway." And the sister in the seat in front hit me on the head like this and said, "Baba is speaking to you." And I'll tell you the truth, I said a terrible thing. I said, "Yes, Daddy." I had been sitting with Daddy Gulzar that afternoon, and I'd got to Daddy conscious, and when Baba's speaking to me, I put my head up and I say, "Yes, Daddy." Not quietly either. I have been fortunate in my Brahman life because whenever I make a mistake, it's very loud. So even though I'd like to deceive and I'd like to hide things, I don't have much choice. Personalization, when Baba says your name, not your body's name, but when he says to you, "Sweet child, do you have that self-respect to enable yourself to know that this God of truth, the truth is sitting in front of you and speaking to you personally? Can you hear your name? If that's what you need, can you hear your name at that time? One. Hear it. Baba is only speaking to you. Nobody else. Who else would he be speaking to? The person next to you? How do we live our life? There's only one form of self-obsession we are allowed to have. Baba and me. That's the only form of obsession, compulsive obsession we are allowed to have. Baba is speaking to me. Only me. Just me. Yes, Baba? Why? Because the very nature of attention means unbroken. Baba, me and this soul. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. The human consciousness, by its very nature of being a point, can only have attention on one thing at any one split second. This is a psychological fact. It can only have its attention on one single thing at any one split second. Mind you, it can accommodate several of those within a second. It can move very fast. This is the very nature of waste thoughts. And so this aspect of a second, it must be that I love that thing because I have full knowledge of it. And secondly, because I have personalized it. So one is to study and to understand and experience. And then to personalize. Baba and I only. Even personalize the drama. If someone comes to you and criticizes, comments, criticism will come. If you have not had any yet, it's coming. Mama and Baba were criticized. God himself is the most maligned figure in history. He says, "You put me into the trees and the rocks and the tables and the microphones." He doesn't say microphones. "You put me into the flowers." Can you imagine? He's sitting in front of us and, "Oh, Baba." And he's saying, "Bacche, over here. Mere Baba. Can you imagine how ignored one would feel if you were human? Rosemary's here, and I'm saying, oh, Rosemary. Oh. And crying and painting the rock, Rosemary. How ignored he is. As a living, conscient being, he's ignored completely. And now he's saying, hello, mite bache. This way. And so a second comes when there's that love and knowledge, and two, when there's that personalization. So now let's look at what can happen in a second. Well, you know what can happen in a second. What happens in a second? There is only one answer for this. Absolutely everything happens in a second. A word. I'm often criticized for saying things either too dramatically or falsely or using the wrong words, you know, misunderstood. Brother Lee said this, you know. I understand why that perception was there. But my feeling inside was not equal to what the criticism was. But it doesn't matter. The message is, have attention on your words, because in a second, if there's ego behind my words, or in a second the wrong word is used, such feeling comes. Is Sister Katia here? Hello, Katia. Can I tell the story? It was so much fun. In Berlin we were there and we were having public program. And I was talking about an elderly Muslim woman in Banda Aceh during the tsunami, you know? And she had suffered greatly. She had been under mud and was pulled out. And anyhow, the story goes. But anyhow, the main point was, what I had said was, before, now she runs an orphanage for children who had lost their parents in the tsunami. Okay, and what I said in my words was, she had only cooked and obeyed her son. Cooked for the family and obeyed her son before this. Now she runs an orphanage. She lost her whole family, and now she runs an orphanage. People asked her, did you do any of this administration, teaching, caring for children before? Just my grandchildren. I obeyed my son and I cooked for the family. And when I said this, everyone in the room started laughing. I thought, well, I've said funnier things than that before. And what Katia had translated is that she took coke. Cocaine. An elderly Muslim woman. And naturally, there's a little bit of difference between cooking for your grandchildren and taking cocaine at the age of 76 in Indonesia. So naturally, one word, a split second, and the whole context changes. Knowledge is of a second. You either understand or you don't. A realization is of a second. And we were trying to, in the core group the other day, define what a realization is. Of a second. It is so fast, the realization, and it's so deep, the experience. And you know what it's like. It's not that you're thinking at the time of realization. And we seldom have realizations during classes, wouldn't you agree? It's always after. And it's usually, pardon me for over-defining it, but for me it's usually when I'm completely free and light. I might be ironing. I'm usually quite light when I'm ironing. You know? Goes right through to the essence of that. I understand. Or I'm walking somewhere with no particular responsibility. The other day I was walking to class and I had the realization of what it was like for Brahma to know his angelic form and to say, I am now becoming that, merging with that angelic form. Well, what about me? I was saying, Levi, do you walk with your angelic form? Do you have the aim to merge with your perfect form? And then just the question led to an experience. I can't describe what the experience was, but it was one of those experiences. So the power of a second, everything is of a second. Think about it, everything. Cellular, cell splitting is of a second. This body is growing, but you can't see that. Everything is moving, even though the physical world looks static. And the movements are split seconds. A realization is of a second. A thought is of less than a second. And so what kind of thought will lead me to that experience where I go beyond thought? Because that's the incorporeal state that Barbara is speaking of. Barbara is saying the point in a second. So first there has to be simply these three aspects. Because for me, Raja Yoga has to be very simple. Otherwise I cannot enjoy it. I want simplicity now. Because my mind is becoming more and more quiet. So I want everything simple. So for me, unless there is the deep awareness and study of these three points. What are the three points? You know what they are. Self, Baba, and Drama. Unless there is the point stage awareness of these. In other words, in a second, I understand the essence of these three lessons. Then I will not be able to hold that stage of the point. So, Baba's definition, as per the 1970 Murali, of the avyakt stage is, and the avyakt stage is absolutely necessary to be able to be constant in this state of victory. The avyakt stage, Baba has said, is you have to practice again and again the bodiless stage. So now we're moving towards the clinic. We're going to have a yoga clinic this morning. I must be practice again and again. Now, when someone says practice, what does it mean to you to practice something? Haji? To perfect it? To do it again and again? What does that infer? If you're doing it again and again, it means? You're making it a habit. It also means that you lose it. Because if you have to do it again and again, you know, if the flowers, you know. Sorry. Yeah? We have to do it again and again. And we say, no, I did it. When? Oh, I had the bodiless stage in, I think, December 1988. When did you have your last seed stage? Oh. I think 96, 97. Really good one it was. If you can remember that you had the seed stage, why can't you remember it to the degree that you are taken instantly into it? There's something wrong in the paradigm by which I'm thinking. Practice means I lose it and I have to do it again. And to perfect it, yes, to perfect it. Jenti Ben gave a beautiful class in Australia, and she was saying that we all accept the title of BK very quickly. I don't know when exactly, but usually when we say, okay, and then we put on a badge, I'm BK. I mean, when did you decide you're a BK? BK Lee, BK Georgina, when did you decide you're a BK? You know. And yet ultimately to be a Brahman means to be wide awake and to be knowledgeful. People ask me, how long have you been in Gyan? It's more appropriate for me to say, oh right, thanks. Thanks for reminding me. About 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, thank you, 9 for reminding me, 12, 13, 14, whoops, gone. Look at that bird over there. I've seen little birds like that before. Gone in a second. I remember the youth, they had done a 2-hour bhati. They may not remember this, but I remember. It was in 1997 or 98, and they had done this 2-hour bhati, and it was volcanic yoga by definition. And the sister brought in gulab jamuns. Unfortunately, she didn't bring them to the back of the butty, she brought them up to the front of the butty. And so the youth is sitting there and the white lights have come on and the youth can't move, they're just... And even the daddy who was there, who had led the last half hour, she's speaking to them and saying, "So, acha, share your experiences." I think that's quite an odd question after a butty, you know. So then the gulab jamuns came, and whole kingdom gone in a second. And what was the attainment? A gulab jamun. And not even the actual gulab jamun, just the vision of it. Because we ran out. There wasn't enough. We are willing to give up our kingdom, internal kingdom, for a gulab jamun. For that thing which pulls my attention, so it requires practice. Now, bodiless stage, to practice bodiless stage. Can anyone give me an easy method? Only if you've not been in yoga clinic before, my yoga clinics before. But those who... Can you give me a suggestion of a very easy method to become bodiless? Haji? Haji? Become bodiless. Now, bodiless is a negation. It means unbody yourself. Doesn't it? Because all the words incorporeal means not physical, not of the physical form. Bodiless. Less the body. So it's a proactive word because you can't conceive of bodiless. You can't here, picture this. You ready? Not pink. What are you picturing? Pink, of course. That's the law of attraction. Whatever you're thinking, if you're thinking in negation, Mother Teresa said once, "I will never go on an anti-war march, but I will go on a peace march with you." Thus, Baba said, this Murli, positive, positive, positive. Has everyone got their copy of the 31st Murli? Count the number of times Baba used the word positive, positive in the Murli. Proactive means positive. Your mind will be proactive anyhow, but if you think a negation, like not this or not that, oh, I have to give up lust. If you're trying to give up lust, what are you doing? Accentuating your fear of lust, which means you're attracting it to you. Not nice lustful experiences either, horrible ones. That's why when souls often leave Baba and they fall, it's quite disastrous because it cannot leave their mind. Positive, proactive. Only see what you want to achieve. See the destination that you wish to experience. Soon as you get a negated form in your mind, not this or not that, or I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't do that, and the Sakamuli will often have that language, but it's there for you to proactively transform it. First thing you must do is transform the image. Bodiless means incorporeal. And the easiest method, let's begin now, is to relax every single muscle in the body. Now, you can get this on MP3, so could I ask you please, take everything off your lap, and unless you're sitting like this, uncross your legs, please. I will uncross mine, so I'm with you. Baiji, we can have red light, if you don't mind. Or it doesn't matter. I am not dependent on music, on lighting, on place. I'm dependent on nothing for this experience. I can do this wherever I am, whenever. But this has a more, greater sense of intimacy. So we can try this. Now, first of all, identify the feelings of the soul, either soul, and the feelings of the body. understand them separately. No music, thanks. Thank you very much. No music. The feelings of the soul are emotions or pure feelings. Means, how do you feel? Some of you may be anxious, some of you may be happy, relaxed, some of you may be... And also identify the feelings of the body. I, the observer, can see the feelings of the body. It means tension. Now that tension is created by wrong thinking, by ego, the wrong concept of self. Because when I am incorporeal, there is just peace. When I am corporeal of any kind at all, identifying with something I see outside, or with the body, there will be tension. Why? Because it's unnatural. So now, just so we can teach the brain what it means to relax, because relax means not do, I am asking you to just clench the fist of your right hand. Let it rest on your lap, but clench the fist of your right hand and totally relax your left hand. Don't move it. Do the opposite of moving it. Relax it. And we're now teaching the brain what the sensation of relaxation is. Abandoned that limb of the hand. Relax it. It's a kind of nervous lightness. Why? Because the sympathetic nervous system is responsible for sensation. And when we let go or take our identity away from that thing and just observe it, there is still a nervous energy left. So it's kind of lightness, but nervous lightness. That is what it feels like to relax properly. And now we're going to slowly, please, very, very, very slowly, let go of the right hand. Let it go, but slowly. Don't miss the experience. First, just release the tension. Do you notice how the fingers are stuck? That is sanskara. That is the impression, or karma. That is the impression of action. Mine is very stuck. I don't think it will ever straighten out. Even if I apply gravity, the fingers do not unfurl. Well, they are, but very slowly. And even now the little one is stuck. So just release your hand now. So letting go is a willful act. The muscles may not immediately disengage the tension. But the more tension you keep in your body, the less you'll be able to hold the experience of soul consciousness. We must practice being soul conscious by practice relaxing and letting go of the body, bodyless. To be less the body means the only thing left is I, the one who let it go. Conscious energy is the master. Inanimate or atomic energy is the servant. So now, let go of your feet. Let them go. Don't move them. Let them go. Abandon them. You, the soul, up there in the penthouse suite, the top floor of this big building of flesh, in the forehead, you are disengaging the feet. Let them go. There will be that lightness of being. Sometimes there will be tension. You'll feel it. It won't let go straight away. It's karma. You let go of the body, you let go of your past karma. You let go of your body, you let go of the past. Past is past, but it's all recorded. The karmic account is recorded in the body. Let go of the body, you let go of the past. You come into the point of the now. Let go of your legs. Your legs. You don't have to let go of the legs of the person sitting next to you. Let go of your legs. You're the master. Let them go. You know what the sensations are like. To relax is that nervous lightness of being. And to let go is a willful act of disengaging. Even as my attention is applied, I, the soul, observe as a detached observer. I've let go of the legs and the feet. Now I'm letting go of the buttocks, the pelvis, the hips. I have to say buttocks because that's where the muscles are. Let them go. And it is in this area that the most sensitive muscles are. Let them go. You know what I'm talking about. Check it. Let it go. If you have tension there, if you're holding that, then also you'll experience pain in your lower back. Let it go. Let go of the lower back. Keep your eyes wide open, please, and just blink naturally. We're going to completely become bodiless with our eyes wide open. Good, let go of the lower back. Let go of the middle and upper back. Check, behind the shoulder blades, along the rib cage at the back. Let it go. The reason that our soul conscious practice is like a rubber band, we get there and then it, boing, it springs back to body consciousness, is we do not relax properly. I, the soul, relax, re-loosen this costume. The actor removes the costume. And I must practice this again and again. Let go of the stomach. All the muscles in the stomach. Stomach tension is not completely, but a little bit common in the Brahmin family because we are old kings and stomach tension is about trying to control. But you can't control me, you can't control anyone else, and you can't control the atmosphere or the situation. You can only control your thoughts about those things. Can you influence the atmosphere? Absolutely. Can you control the thoughts you think about me and situations? Absolutely. And those are what give you your experience of me and the situation. Not me and the situation, but your thoughts give you the experience. You can change them, transform them. So knowing that you can't control, let go of your stomach. Breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, please. Breathe in. Let it go. It was based on a false premise. And you can see the damage. Let go of your chest. Chest is the past, the emotions. Let go of the chest, please. Breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. Breathe in. What is in the chest? Resentment for what others did. But they did that out of ignorance. Forgive them and forget it. It's a new day. Or regret for what you did. You did that out of ignorance as well. forgive and forget. It's a new day. The drama is of a second. Become the observer of the workshop as well as the participant. Let go of your chest. All that pain in your chest, it was created by an illusion that someone was at fault. No. No one. Just ignorance. Now you have knowledge. Everything is fine. Let go of your hands. How many actions have your hands performed just today since you awoke? How many of those actions inspired others to God? It's just a checking point, but it's an interesting one. It's taking account. Let them go. Retire them for now. I know it's a challenge. I know it feels a bit weird. Some people feel so constrained by this exercise, they feel like jumping up and running around. But it's on the contrary, it's a slow, gentle death, or like going to sleep. But you're fully alert and awake. Let go of your arms. Masters, you are masters. Let go of your arms. Let go of your shoulders. Let go of your shoulders. Let go of your neck. And your jaw. If your mouth falls open, it's fine for now. No one is looking at your face. I feel that our service begins when someone can see my face. Otherwise you can be upram. Let it all go. I'm not looking at your face, so just let it go. Let the jaw fall open if it must. It's actually the natural position. Let go of your tongue. Let go of your scalp or your head. Keep checking. All the muscles may not let go immediately, but at least you've started to become bodiless. Let go of your face. 105 muscles. All of them. The forehead, the temples, behind the eyes, behind the cheekbones, around the mouth, the lips. Just check that you, the soul, the master, the conscient energy, has let go of all limbs, muscles, that you've made a conscious effort to let go and relax that body. And now one word only, I. Answer this question of I by seeing it and feeling it. I see it. You already know you're a soul. You don't have to chant that. But see it and feel it. Tiny spark of light. Draw the eye of the mind, the divine eye, toward the accurate image of self. tiny spark like a star. Smaller, even smaller. Eyes are open, but the mind's eye is pulled by that light. This is me, I the soul. And if you can bring to the awareness this form of the point, I am this, concentrated, pure light. Peace will naturally emerge. Remembrance and rediscovery of Shanti Swarup, the stage of being, the embodiment of peace. If something else passes through the mind or replaces this in the mind's eye, that's fine. Let that go, just as you let go of the body and come back to the image, the form, and the quality of the eternal self. I. Peaceful soul. The last step. My you know the rest. Baba has said you must come to know the home. Without knowing the home, you cannot stabilize the remembrance of the resident of the home. Know the home. See it. We travel far beyond the world of time, color, space, form, to the world of golden red light. Eyes are open. Those eyes down there on that body are open. But here my third eye only sees golden red silence. There is no near or far, there is no time, no form, other than the seed. And with that thought, Baba is in front of me in his powerful form. Baba, the seed of all knowing. And within that seed, the ocean of peace and happiness. And within that seed, unconditional, unending love. He's inviting you, take the journey. Let him draw you into his heart. Come, Bachi. Come. So I become merged in the attainment, merged in love. And if the attention is pulled away a little, just feed it through the intellect and through the mind's eye. O Baba, Almighty Authority, Baba. Merged in your love, in your light, in the seed as we come back and have the awareness of the whole and the body, acknowledge the attainment. A relationship is built upon as I start to acknowledge the value of that one in my life. This is called knowledge. I now know more, Baba. I know I love being merged in love with you. So first was relaxation of the body. Without relaxing, you must practice this again and again. One practice that I have adopted is whenever I sit, for the first 30 seconds with my eyes wide open, whether it's in a meeting or sitting for eating with others, whenever I sit, I fly. First, I relax all the muscles in the body with the key or the switch, I. See it, feel it. I. See it, feel it. And then my, mere. Soul world, Baba, ever pure Baba, ocean of peace and happiness. And then I come back into the awareness of the room again. So for 30 seconds only, when I first sit, wherever I am, in a taxi, on the bus, wherever, and I'm amazed how much I sit again and again during the day, I do this, I and my. The practice is there. I and my. And it is when there is the practice of bodilessness and the awareness of the point, Baba says, to maintain, practice, maintain, to practice bodilessness, unbodying yourself, and maintain the awareness of the point, bringing the mind's eye into the awareness with full knowledge of what it is. It's just not bhakti, this is truth of the point. When I practice and maintain, practice bodilessness and maintain the awareness of the point, I will have developed constant avyakt stage. Even as I walk, to not walk in a body of flesh. So let's just, if you wouldn't mind, those of you who feel you can, and be careful with low blood pressure and all of those things. If you do get a bit funny, then it's fine, you sit down, huh? But let's just do it standing, if we could please. Total bodilessness, but while standing. We do our fiddling now. Okay. So always is best, unless you have some misalignment already. Feet under the hips, hips under the shoulders. It's as if a silver thread is holding the body up to forever. So the body is just dangling on that thread, so you can forget about it. Now, we've already created a sense memory. Sense memory is like when you make a habit. It's easier to play the song on the piano the second, third, fourth, fifth time. That's what practice needs. That's why we do practice, because each time try not to do anything extra. All this clicking of bones and all of this is very damaging for your psyche, because it adds senses, sensual experience. Leave it alone. Unless it's deeply uncomfortable, then you may have to realign it. But try not to click too much. Let your hands be totally droopy beside your body. And here we go. We're riding on the sense memory of having already done it. And this is why we must accumulate experience. Let go of your feet. Let go of your legs. Keep checking. Only you know. Let go of your buttocks and hips. That's why it has to dangle on the thread. The body must dangle. Let go of your lower back, middle, upper back. Keep checking, please. Let go of your stomach. Breathe in. And breathe out any tension. Let go of your chest. Again, breathe in. And let go of the past. There is no past unless you visited it. You are here, you are now. What you do from now to the end of the cycle determines your fortune. Let go of your hands, arms, shoulders, neck, jaw, tongue, scalp, your head, and your face, forehead, temples, behind the eyes, behind the cheeks, around the mouth. I, the soul. Now, yes, our aim is simply by saying I, you will visualize, in other words, you will see the form of self and experience Shanti Swarup. And automatically, therefore, the body will have been let go of. But you can see, you know yourself. Some of you are holding tension, and that's what's stopping you from having a stable stage in a second. Constancy is only all over a long period of time simply means the seconds joined together unbroken. How much love is needed for that? How much knowledge? How much personalization? I see it. Bring the awareness of the point into your mind's eye. Form, qualities, tiny spark, looking out through the eyes, listening through the ears, I, the soul. Keep going. If there's not dead silence yet, there's further you can go. Withdraw into the point. And now my Baba. We go beyond the body, the room, beyond the earth, beyond the solar systems, the universe. We cross over into the home. You know it's the home because it feels comfortable. I belong here. A world of golden red silence. It's a forever attraction. I want to stay here. Forever. As soon as you're there, Baba will come in front of you. It is automatic. The home means the father. The father means the home. That means as soon as you're there and stable in that silence, you will see Baba. Why? Because you know he lives there. And that's why you've come home. To merge into your father's lap like a child. See him clearly. He draws you into his light, into his heart, into his silent, powerful heart. Allow him to merge you in his love. All that is left is truth. The intoxication of belonging. That's what this love is. I belong to you. And you are mine. Go further. Go deeper into his heart. Till there is no thought. Just the intoxication of belonging. Now bring him with you. Bring the attainment with you and bring him with you. Combined form. And sit behind the eyes together. Merged in love. Like conjoined twins. Inseparable. And look through the eyes. And feel the vibration of your combined form spreading outward across the universe. Down through the body into the earth, purifying matter. Out across the atmosphere, uplifting souls. I, the lighthouse, might house, child. Karan Karavanha is having his job done. Lighthouse, might house. A walking lighthouse, might house. Now the last step. You're aware of vicinity, that is, the closeness of others. You're aware that others are seeing the billboard of your face. Allow that love to come into your eyes. Allow that love to just gently mold your face. Mold your lips. It's not you. It's the attainment. You're not pretending. You feel happy. You feel loved. gently give instructions to the body to sit down without losing the kingdom. You can see how just a little practice, just a tiny little bit this morning, has changed both your understanding. So simple it is. It's changed your understanding, it's changed your experience. Right now you've accumulated something more than before. And what do we accumulate? Experience. We're more experienced, we've practiced. And we only did it twice or three times this morning. Now let's do it in a second. I. My. You are allowed to be happy. You are allowed to be loved. For so long our happiness was conditional. Jokes or humor or hurtful statements. For so long our love was temporary. It deceived us. So much so that now we're afraid to accept the love. You're allowed. Indulge yourself. Be consumed through this accurate practice. Be constantly consumed by His love. But unless you are in deep tapasya, unless you are having a special bhati for yourself, here is a warning. As soon as someone else can see your face, even in your room where you stay, as long as someone can see your face, you can do service through your face and features. This is truly the awareness of deity. That everything bestows. The tourists who stand there and watch us walk from one class to the next, they are looking at your face, your walk, your gesture. You can't fake this. It comes from inside out. It's embarrassing, yes. Mistakes are embarrassing. The mistakes we make, the sin, the vicefulness, all of these things are embarrassing. But put that aside, that pride, put it aside. And learn again. Become interested again in the very basic dot, dot, dot. I, the soul. My Baba. And then when something pulls me out of that love-lean, merged in love state, that's when I must apply the third dot. Nothing new. Blink your eyes. This is what we did last cycle. And it contributed to success because the temples were built. We were victorious last cycle because there's temples on the earth remembering the deities. So since it's identical, it means we're going to be victorious again this cycle. So victory is assured, relax. And just have attention. No effort. Don't make any effort at all except to have attention. Where is your attention going? If it's I, the soul, and my Baba, And then when your consciousness is broken by a duty, nothing new. Often when we're in the jam office, not yours downstairs, but ours upstairs, when we're in the office in London, there would be a busy conversation because, you know, the jam project was quite big and in the sense of voluminous, there were many tasks we needed to do to carry it out. But sometimes there was an urgency and tension in the conversation. Even in my own voice I became aware of this, and I would simply stop and say, excuse me, everybody, excuse me, excuse me. And they'd all get a bit huff huff, you know. Yes, Brother Lee. And I'd say, this is not the first time we've had this conversation. It's already ended eternally. This is not the first time we've done jam. And what that break from tension and ego and, oh, I have to do this and that, and what it does is it allows space for you to say, I, the soul, let go of the body. My Baba, become merged in the intoxication of His love, of belonging. I think I've told some of you this story before. Once, about 2 years ago, we were doing the final meditation for the youth retreat, and Daddy Ratnamihini was sitting here and I was sitting here. And she looking at me and like this giggling, you know. I'm a bit of a proud person. I don't like people giggling at me. Then, anyhow, London broke that. And I said, yes, Daddy. And she said, Levi, your face looks like this. She said, like Upram. It's like a Buddhist priest who's about to go, leave his body. She said, we are Rajyogis. Everyone who sees our face should know we are in love. She said it's about a relationship. Just listening to her words instantly changed my features. Like that. When you are in this stage as you are now, constantly relaxing your body, do it. Constantly bringing the awareness, even as you look through your physical eyes and listen through your ears, you are aware of the point of self. And then even that, as you keep your eyes open and listen, you can fly home in a second. Perhaps you can't see anymore because your mind's eye is so overwhelmed by the world of golden red light. And there is Baba. I sit comfortably and safely in the heart of my Lord, of my Baba. As you practice this again and again, and especially when you're listening to classes, when you have to sit and listen for long periods of time, a lot of what you're listening to will not be drawing your attention where it should. A lot of it. So, nothing new. This is already victorious. Let me fly. Merged in Baba's love, and then bring back into your features, into your behavior, the attainment of the love affair. Again and again and again. And again. Never get tired of it. Never get tired of bliss. Om Shanti. Let's fly again. Now you do it yourself. You've heard me speak. You speak it to yourself now. In a second. This is all we live for, you and I. The culture of Brahman life is a culture of inside out. It's all about feelings. Brahman life is just learning to walk in bliss, speak in bliss, do tasks driven by selfless bliss. A yoga clinic is yoga for the sake of fixing the method of yoga, like putting a car into a garage. So that's why it's called a yoga clinic. We put our yoga in to check, to see how accurate it is. Am I able to hold the awareness, maintain the awareness of the point, and remain bodiless? Om Shanti.